verse 23 of Exodus. And he said unto them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you bake today. See that you will seethe, and that remaining over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade or commanded, and it did not stink. This is a miracle. Any other day, it would have stank. It would have been filled with worms, but not today. Verse 25, "And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, that which the Sabbath, it is there, shall be none." What is the it, by the way? What's the it, church? Yeah, the it is manna, okay? "And it came to pass that they went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you the 6 day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Let's pray. Lord God, be with us in our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight may not be incredibly exciting and wow, was I challenged from the Word of God, and probably just not going to happen. Tonight is kind of an academic discussion. That's what it is. We've got this reference to Sabbath here, and you're back on a Sunday night because I presume you have a desire to know more of the Word of God. I presume you want to grow deeper in your knowledge of the Word of God and how this applies. And so we want to talk about this very idea, this idea of the Sabbath. This is the first mention of this word in your Bible. It has a root word. Here's a... Ben, can you move away from the computers, please? Ben Dove, move away from the computers, please. It has a root word, and the root word is cease. The root word is desist. The root word is rest. So we have a cease and desist order. That's what we have, a cease and desist order coming from God. This is a holy cease and desist order, a holy cease and desist order. Holy is sanctified, set apart, dedicated, hallowed, different, utterly different from all other 6 days. So the God of the universe gave the people of Israel a holy cease and desist order. And this has with it lots of questions. Verse 25, "Eat today, for the Lord, today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find manna in the field. 6 days shall you gather, the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. It came to pass that some went out anyway on the seventh day." So I want to bring to your attention that unbelievers consistently manifest themselves by their fruit. They're unbelievers. They were told it's not going to be there, and they had to go find out for themselves. Okay? They didn't believe the word of the Lord, and it manifests itself. There's a bit of anger here. There's a question. How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Let no man go out of his place. This is very interesting language right here. This is pretty much where we're going to put a lot of attention right here. Verse 29. So the people rested on the seventh day. Turn over to chapter 20. Obviously, if we're going to 20, we're going to the what, church? The Ten Commandments, right. Ten Commandments. We have our second reference now to the actual commandments. Verse 8, chapter 20, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do thy labor do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And hallowed it. So what do Christians do with the Sabbath commandments? That's what our discussion is tonight. What do they do with these Sabbath commandments? Well, I think these are four options: full compliance, modified compliance, and awareness. And option four is they ignore it. I think that's pretty much what I'm going to show you is four options: full compliance, modified compliance, awareness, and ignore it. I have a screenshot from a church website. I want to read it to you, and then you tell me what you think. So the gracious Creator, after 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh day, instituted the Sabbath for all people as a memorial of creation. The fourth commandment of God's unchangeable law requires observation of this seventh-day Sabbath as the day of rest, worship, and ministry in harmony with the teaching and practice of Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of delightful communion with God and one another. It is a symbol of our redemption in Christ, a sign of our sanctification, a token of allegiance, and a foretaste of eternal future in God's kingdom. The Sabbath is God's perpetual sign of his eternal covenant between him and his people. Joyful observation of this holy time from evening to evening, sunset to sunset, is a celebration of God's redemptive and creative acts. And then they have a series of scriptures in an attempt to justify this. What group of people is this? Yeah, this is the Seventh-day Adventist. And they take this incredibly strong stand. I said strong. I didn't say biblical. Okay, because it may not be biblical. Okay, and we need to talk about that. So that came from the Seventh-day Adventist. Here's a Reformed Confession of Faith. This is the Second London Baptist, 1689. Paragraph 7. As it is the law of nature that in general a proportion of time by God's appointment to be set apart for the worship of God, so by his word in a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding on all men in all ages, he has particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath, the observation of the last day of the week being abolished. Paragraph 8. The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts, ordering their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest of all day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employment and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in the public and private exercise of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Now that is quite a paragraph, folks, isn't it? That is quite a paragraph. And they have scriptures to prove their perspective. Bode Bachman holds to this confession of faith. Many of you know who he is. He's a tremendous preacher. And he would say that this is what their church does. And they would do it in keeping this commandment. And when he preached through this text, he emphasized that they as a church were, in fact, keeping this commandment. I'm going to argue with him. He won't let me argue with him, but I'm going to argue with him. The Westminster Confession of Faith. Very similar, the Westminster. What denomination is this church? This is our Presbyterians. Look at this cover right here. This is an ancient cover for the first rendition. The humble advice of the Assembly of Divines. Now, it's very interesting because when you get in here reading this, it don't sound anything like advice, okay? It sounds like commandments. But it says, the humble advice of the Assembly of Divines, now by authority of the Parliament, fitting at Westminster concerning a confession of faith. All right. And this is 153 pages in length. It's quite the document. We won't spend all that time, but I want to show you what they believe. As it is the law of nature, that is general due proportion time we set apart from worship. It sounds pretty similar, doesn't it? In his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding on all men in all ages, he has particularly appointed one day in seven for his Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day and is to be continued to the end of the world as a Christian Sabbath. This Sabbath is to be kept holy unto the Lord when men, after their due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do to not only observe in a holy rest from their own works, words, thoughts about their worldly employments and recreation, but also are taken up the whole time in public and private exercise of his worship and the duties of necessity and mercy. I circled that 38 because I want to talk about that. They quote 38. That footnote 38 that I circled right there leads us back to this text right here. Exodus 16:29. So I want us to look at this text in Exodus 16:29. And I want you to notice in particular something very unique about this text. Verse 29, and you might underline this. See, for that the Lord has given you this Sabbath, therefore he's given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. What do I want to show you? What do I want to show you? What'd you say? Yeah, there's no gathering of worship here. There's no gathering of worship. Did you see it? If we're keeping this commandment, we don't need to be here, folks. We shouldn't have been here this morning. We shouldn't have been here tonight. There's no corporate assembly whatsoever. What? No, there's no food prep. No. See, I really believe that it's ridiculous when you quote a scripture that doesn't support your position. Yes.
But also, if we are here and we're not supposed to work, but you as a pastor are working.
You know, there's an exception for that. Because the priest had to work on the Sabbath as well. The priest had to work on the feast days. There's an exception.
Yeah, but if we're not supposed to go out, you're still working.
Yes. I mean, I think this is a legitimate issue that has to be addressed. If this is really your covenant, your doctrine of faith, your statement of faith, and you're suggesting that this is dogmatic, this is biblical, this is right. And remember, this is their stand. Okay? When Vadi talked about this, Vadi Bachman talked about this on his sermons, he was very dogmatic about the fact that the Reformed Confession of Faith is a solid confession of faith that should be embraced by all Baptists. Well, you have to convince me where I'm taught that in the Word of God. That's right. And we're going to get a second to get there, John. But the New Testament points us in an entirely different direction. So did Jesus keep this Sabbath commandment? No. Let's run over to Mark 2. Let's run over to Mark 2. Mark 2. And we just open up with the very first sentence. And it came to pass that he went out through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. Bam. Right. I don't need to read anything more. What are you doing out there? I mean, it becomes very apparent to the reader here that there must have been some difference, some transition that occurred. Because at this point, Jesus is out there, but he's not alone. Let's continue. His disciples are with him, but not just his disciples. Let's look at the next sentence. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they do on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now, the only way the Pharisees would know that they were out of their homes is if they too were out of their homes. So ain't nobody following the Sabbath at this point. Right? I mean, it's insane at this point.
But did they even have a home at that point? Because Jesus, like, was always...
The Pharisees had a home.
Yep,
disciples had homes. They had places to go. They had a place to lay his head. I know he said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, but we're not to understand that he never, ever spent a night in a place of rest. I think it's very problematic when you purport to have something dogmatically in your article of faith, in your confession of faith, and then the scripture that you use is not even applicable, either by the Old Testament or the New Testament. Because there's something going on here. Let's keep reading. And he said, have you never read what David did when he had they need and was hungry and he and went out with them? How he went into the house of God into the days of, help me out someone, Abiathar and the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat. But the priest gave also to them which were with them. And he said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So what is your takeaway from that? What is the application that we can draw from just that instruction right there? Is the Sabbath supposed to be something that's burdensome?
It's
supposed to be a blessing. Right. It's supposed to be a blessing. It's not supposed to be difficult. It's not supposed to be obnoxious. It's not supposed to be burdensome. He said he's the Lord of it. But is it just that simple? Is it they had it? They kept it really hard and we don't keep it that much? I don't think so. I think we need to talk some more about this. I think we need to unpack this a little bit more. Is the law of the Sabbath still binding? That's the question that we need to ask. Is the law of the Sabbath still binding? Is it still binding? That's the question that we need to ask. Now, how are we going to decide the answer to that question? Because obviously what we have here, Seventh-day Adventists believe that the law has been kept in Saturday, and then Baptists of the Reformed Confession of Faith and Presbyterians of the Westminster Confession of Faith believe that the way they keep that Sabbath is transitioning from Saturday to Sunday, and they call it a Christian Sabbath. They call it a Christian Sabbath. So we want to know, are we supposed to be keeping a Christian Sabbath? So I ask this question, am I under the Mosaic Law or the Sinaitic Covenant? Is that the covenant that I'm under? You said what?
In Christ.
Okay, excellent. That's, you're exactly right. That's exactly where we're going. Romans 7. That's exactly where we're going, Steve. And we have to see this. We absolutely have to see this very idea. It has to be addressed. I have the ESV on the wall. I have my King James here. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. Likewise, brothers, so I've created this story to create a parallel. Now we're going to get into the theological truth. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another. Now you got to see that. If you're not looking right now, if you're not studying this, you're not going to get the point. Am I under the law? And if I am, then I need to be keeping the Sabbath. I need to be keeping the Sabbath. Or have I been freed from the law? So that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit of God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our own members, bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law. But now we are released from the law. But now we are released from the law. The King James language is, but now we are delivered from the law. So wait a minute. If I have been delivered from the law, why is it important for me to somehow create a Christian Sabbath? I don't need to, do I, John? I've been freed from it. I've been delivered from it. I don't need to somehow figure out a way of reaching back and getting it and somehow think that I'm keeping it. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which has held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. As though Paul didn't make his point enough in the previous verse, he ends it with the idea that we're in a new way under the Spirit of the Lord, and we're not in the old way under the written code. Turn over to chapter 14. Now, one thing is very apparent to me, and I am going to be sarcastic right now, and sarcasm sometimes is used to make a point. It's very apparent to me that Paul was not aware of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Yeah. Right. Verse 5. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Now, that's very clear, church. That's very clear. We can try. This is a holy day and all that. It's not a holy day. It's not a holy day. It's called the Lord's Day, but the Lord's Day does not have prescriptive things like the Sabbath did. It doesn't. What you get in Acts are descriptive things. There's a clear distinction between prescriptive and descriptive. Descriptive, I'm describing what happened. Prescriptive, I'm telling you what needs to happen. And there is a difference. There's a difference. John. Hold on. Slow down. I got that on the screen. It does. Okay. All right. Let's look at it. You're right. It's clear. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with respect to food or drink or in the matter of feasts, new moon, or Sabbath days. So here's our, if they want to keep a day separate, that's fine. That's fine. When it doesn't, it's not fine with me is when you try to say it's biblical and because you're doing it and we're not biblical. That's when I, my view, look, if you want to have a holy day, have it. If you want Thursday to be your holy day, have at it. But when you judge others as not right with God because they don't keep your holy day in the way you keep it, now you've crossed the line. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with respect to food or drink or in the matter of a feast, a new moon, or Sabbath days. Now, folks, if we're supposed to be using the language of Christian Sabbath, if in fact a holy commandment was given by Christ to move the Sabbath to Sunday, how could Paul write this? And Paul must have been a confused guy. What was the Jerusalem Council all about? I'm testing your knowledge right now. What was the Jerusalem Council all about, and where do we find it? Now, just think right now, can I answer that question correctly? One, what was it all about? And two, where is it found? We ask questions like this because this is a great way of you. Yeah, I'm growing. Yeah, I didn't know where that was. Now I do. I'm growing. I'm learning my Bible. I know where it's at. Let's get over there to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts 15. TJ, in 30 seconds, summarize very loudly what the Jerusalem Council was all about. Very succinctly. Yes, Christ is wonderful. Absolutely, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, we believe He's the Messiah. But you still need to keep the law. ain't nobody removed the law. The law is still binding. And it starts on the eighth day. It starts on the eighth day, and you got to keep it up. Yes, we love Jesus. And yes, we believe He's the Messiah. And yes, He died for our sins. But the law still binding. Verse 5, but some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. To keep the law of Moses. Now remember, these folks were still practicing the Sabbath. They weren't practicing the Sabbath like 1629, stay in your home, but they still were preparing food the same before. They were still shutting down businesses. They were still abstaining from work. They had all the rules. And now all of a sudden you've got these new covenant Christians doing something on Sunday. We know that they're doing it on Sunday. They're doing it on the first day of the week. We know they're assembling for worship. They're breaking bread. They're getting together. And they're saying that's fine to do that on Sunday, but you still got to keep the law. You still got to get your son circumcised, and you still got to follow the Mosaic law. So look. This is so clear to me. I don't understand why it's not clear to others. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me take you to the next verse, and then we'll talk. Okay. Verse 20. This was the conclusion. Verse 20. They go through this deliberate debate. They have their first legitimate ecumenical council of elders and apostles. And this is the conclusion. Write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. That's it. That's it. Now, at this point, two things are conspicuously missing. Two things are just conspicuously missing. What are they? That's right, John. Number one is circumcision. If, in fact, we are to understand that infant baptism is the transitional replacement for circumcision, this was the time to teach it. Right here. This is when they should have opened up and laid it out as the doctrinal position of the early covenant church, the new covenant church, right here. Stop. Don't worry about circumcision anymore. We're going to baptize babies. That's the replacement. You said you're arguing from silence. Yes, I am arguing from silence. Their silence. They don't speak to the issue right here. We are to understand that those babies are baptized as a replacement for the circumcision on the eighth day. This is the transition. But they don't speak to it at all. And number two, if we're to understand that the Christian Sabbath is a commandment from Christ to be kept until He returns, why didn't they tell us that here? Why didn't they tell us that here? Because the question was, what about circumcision and what about keeping the law? And they say, this is what you need to focus on. Folks, this is it. Abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. And the reason they talk about that is very contextual. In fact, let's go back and look at the very next verse so you understand the contextual application. The contextual application, the cultural application. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preached to him being read in synagogues in every Sabbath day. So why in the fact, look at this, look at that preposition right there, for Moses. So we've got a linkage there between verse 20 and 21. 21 says that we're going to tell them to abstain from those pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things that are strangled and from blood. And why those things? Well, the answer is because there are Jews alive and well that hear this teaching every Sabbath day. We don't want to be a stumbling block to them. Why? Because we're trying to reach them for Christ. And there's no way in the world they can take you serious as a follower of God if you're doing those things. Those things. If not, if that's not the reason, then verse 21 doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's just absurdly out of place. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Because there are people that still know what the Mosaic Law says because they hear it every single Sabbath day. And because we're trying to reach those Jews with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Don't compromise your Christian testimony by doing those things in verse 20. But again, remember, we're told, again, by our Presbyterian brothers in Christ, that circumcision has been, baptism has replaced circumcision, and the Christian Sabbath has replaced the Old Testament Sabbath. So the two things are the keeping the Sabbath has moved to Lord's Day, and baptism replaced the circumcision. So is Sunday as the Christian Sabbath biblical? No. The answer is no. The answer is no. Now we're going to get way in the deep end of the pool, and then we're going to go home. Okay. All right. So just kind of unpack this and then go home. Have you heard of dispensational or covenant theology? A few of you. All right. You can be a Christian your entire life and not know what this is and you're fine. Okay. It's not essential. But if you want to jump deeper in the end of the pool and get a better understanding of these things, then this will be helpful. This little bit of 5 minutes of lecture will be helpful. Okay. So dispensationalists focus on the differences between the Old and the New Testament, whereas covenantal theologians focus on the similarities or the continuation between Israel and the church. And now you'll hear this in so many different ways. And because there's so many different types of dispensationalists and so many different types of covenantal theologians that we do have to just paint in kind of broad brushes, all right? There's just no way that you're going to be able to identify each and every one of them and show their unique differences. But for the sake of discussion, we'll put this side of the church, because Darren Hawk's here, as the dispensational theologians. And because Gene, you are here on this side, we'll put the covenantal theologians on this side. So you folks, when you see the Word of God, you are continually looking for the continuity, the connection points between Genesis to the Mosaic Law to the New Covenant. And you're just constantly seeing the similarities, notice these tracing lines. See how God's always been dealing with His people in the same way. And so you have these glasses on, and every time you put these glasses on, you're continually seeing the continuity. Can I say it like that? The Christ in the Old Testament, those things. You folks over here as the dispensationalists, you see the stark differences. You're aware of the differences. You see this gigantic mosaic law given to the people of God. It's just huge. It tells you the fibers that you can wear in your clothing. It tells you what you can do and when you can't do it. It's massive. And then you're aware of the fact that there's this thing called the law of Christ in which you just love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you're done. Next. Okay? So the dispensationals will see the differences. So when I showed you, for example, Acts 16:29, in which, where did they stay? In their homes. Was there any corporate worship there?
No.
Was there any assembly there? No. So what glasses was I wearing when I showed you that? Yes, Dick, I was wearing my dispensational glasses. Because I'm supposed to understand that the church was in the wilderness. That the church was in the wilderness. That the people of God were in the wilderness. But wait a minute. I'm also aware that they're different. They're different. What we do here, this corporate assembly, was not happening in Acts 16. Exodus 16. Thank you. Exodus 16. Thank you so much. It wasn't happening. So many of our Reformed and Covenantal brothers in Christ insist that the New Testament church is the continuation of the church in the wilderness. That it's the same thing. So if those are the glasses that you put on, the tracing the line through, right? Then you need to reach back and get circumcision and connect it to baptism. You need to do that. You need to make a connection between an Old Testament Sabbath and a Christian Sabbath. You're looking for all the connection points that you can. You want to draw them together. And let's be clear. Some days if you listen to my preaching, I'd sound like a dispensationalist. And some days if you listen to my preaching, I'd sound like a covenant guy. You know why? Because I see them both in the Bible. I see them both. I see continuity. I see Abraham being saved by faith. Right. In where? The Old Testament. So I love that. And I see us being saved by faith in the New Testament. So I want to see those connection points. Now, what either camp seems to think is that you've got to choose one or the other. And I don't think you do. I don't think you have to pick one or the other. Now, look, I'm not under the Mosaic law. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What'd you say, Kaiser? Thank God, right. Thank God. Hey, folks, we're not looking through Exodus and studying every detail and trying to figure out how it applies in the year 2018. Paul tells us we don't have to do that. Run over with me to Romans 13. Run to me with Romans 13 and then we'll wrap it up. I know what time it is. And I've got some amazing pepperoni bread to go home and eat tonight. Man, I haven't even cut into it yet. I'm looking forward to it. And bread and pepperoni. I mean, what a glorious combination. Yeah, yeah. No, we're not sharing. There's not enough to share. Okay. Yeah. Yep, I only gathered enough. And if I don't eat it all, it may stink, okay? Right. Verse 8, everyone. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Done. I mean, it's literally rest my case. Finished. And then he says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't need the entire Mosaic law. Does it inform my thinking? Yes. Does it have application? Yes. Are there principles that I can draw from it? Yes. But John, I'm not under that law. You know what covenant I'm in? The new covenant. When was that established? When Christ established it. When did it go into place? When he died. The author of Hebrews makes that very clear. When did it go in place? When does a covenant, when does a will and testament go in place? When someone dies. And all I got to do right here is this right here. Right here. Verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You've heard this idea of a moral law, a ceremonial law. You've heard those ideas. Folks, the Bible doesn't tell it like that. There's nothing that says moral law, list, ceremonial law, list. We don't get to say I'm under 8 of the 10. I'm under 1 of the 10. I like 9 of the 10. It's like this. You're either under the law or you're not. It's that simple. It's that simple. So here's my take. Set one day apart from the others in a sacred way such that God is the focus and rest is achieved. That's my takeaway. Not a law. That's just my personal takeaway. There's no doubt that our bodies need rest. We're stupid if we ignore that. Our bodies need rest. And we have a responsibility to make disciples. And we can't do that if we don't come together. Hey, we're going to live in Exodus 16. See you in heaven. Right? No, we got to come together. We got to come together. Why? Because we're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to baptize them. We're supposed to keep the Lord's Supper. That's the instructions that we live under. Why? Because we're not under the Mosaic law. Father God in heaven, thank you for our time together in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.